Chapter 42. Life and Limb. Battle Barge Charybdis Generatorium. A narrow defile, flanked by stout bulkheads, offered the optimum defensive redoubt against attack. Even so, Zon calculated it would not be enough. He had been tempted to retain the labor gangs to rapidly retask any servitors with offense protocols and violent subroutines. It would take a matter of seconds to achieve, but that would reduce these men to offal, living and breathing in some instances, but ultimately just dead meat. He had sent them to the upper decks, away from the approaching word-bearers, to seal themselves within their quarters or lockers. If the Charybdis and its crew survived this latest crisis, they would need the engine-seers and labor gangs, the servitors and machine helots that would keep it running. Legionaries knew nothing of such matters, save a few, or rather, two. And if he and Gargo remained unreinforced, they would be dead and of no further use in this regard.
"We hold them here,"
Gargo sounded emphatic as he hefted his bolter into position, using the flanged edge of the right side bulkhead as a makeshift firing lip. He also sounded belligerent. Zon had his post on the opposite side, similarly hunkered down, his eyes scanning for lifter activation, forced incursion, teleportation flare, or any of several other ways the word-bearers could reach them.
"It will come down to a close quarters exchange," he told Gargo, reviewing streams of tactical scenarios alloyed to hundreds of data variables. Weapon jam, configuration of enemy, number of enemy, enemy armaments, strategic dispersal. As things stood, in no version of events did he or Gargo emerge alive, let alone victorious.
"We have an answer to that, brother."
A hammer hung from a mag-clamped loop around Gargo's belt. He had his smaller combat blade, too. Zon's servo arm made for an effective weapon, and he also carried a short sword in a drake-scale scabbard on his hip. Even with the plethora of blades, drills, and saws he could unleash from his haptic implants, the modest arsenal would not be enough. At the edge of the generatorium hub, the wail of klaxons presaged the imminent arrival of a lifter platform. Flashing amber light strobed the deck. Heavy gears working down shafts of cabling fought with the warning drone from the alarms.
"Don't let them get too close too soon," said Zon as he took aim down his bolter sight.
The base of the lifter platform churned into view through a pall of venting pressure, edged with chevrons and surrounded by a metal cage.
"Short sustained bursts," said Zon.
15 legionaries waited aboard, weapons ready. Crimson armor caught the light and shone like freshly spilled blood. Through his enhanced vision, Zon discerned script upon the word-bearer's plate and flesh. He also saw a chaplain amongst their number, and possibly a regular line officer.
"Bolters," said Zon, as the cage rolled back in a concertina of folded metal, "and heavy explosives."
As suspected, they had come to destroy the generatorium, and with it, the Geller field.
"Here they come!"
shouted Gargo, and they lit up the deck with muzzle flare and fury. Ranked up tight, coming off the lifter cage, the word-bearers used their vanguard warriors as ablative armor. They died first and quickly, but were of little importance. Chaff surrendered to the scything bolter fire. The rest dispersed upon egress, finding cover in jutting alcoves or behind support columns.
"I count nine!"
Speaking through the vox, Gargo had no need to raise his voice, but the adrenaline forced his words into a shout. Zon concurred. 6 legionaries were down. The dead left where they fell, and the critically injured allowed to writhe in pain. Gargo fired a round into the head of a word-bearer whose chest cavity had been ripped open.
"Save your shells, brother," Zon told him, and let the wretches suffer. Return fire came back at them, sporadic at first, but then with greater intensity as the word-bearers began to act in unison. Zealots and priests they might be, but the 17th were still legionaries and ably demonstrated the tactics of such. The narrow defile the salamanders had chosen as their choke point soon became filled with a hail of mass reactive shells, forcing them back. A stray shot hit Gargo in the left shoulder. His guard took most of the impact, dispersing force across its rounded contours, but the explosive round still detonated. Stabbing shrapnel cut through adamantium to bury itself in the meat of Gargo's shoulder. He grunted in pain as a ricochet narrowly missed his faceplate and ducked back behind the bulkhead, the bolt storm leveled against it, steadily chewing up the metal. The black smiter glanced across a pulsating cordon of bolter fire at Zon, who was hunkered down the same.
"How are we the only legionaries able to defend the generatorium?" he cried, a sense of injustice creeping into his voice.
Stretched thin across a vast ship, even with many of its decks sealed off and shut down, without the Charybdis's armsmen, the Drakes were always going to struggle to contain a mass assault across several locations simultaneously. They were vulnerable, exposed by whatever was masquerading beneath the flesh of the girl in the white dress. Zon had no answer. It defied reason, but they were alone, and no logical argument would change that fact. Pragmatism, as taught by Vulcan, had to prevail.
"Let them come," said the Tech Marine. "We halt them here, eye to eye, tooth to tooth."
Gargo blind-fired around the edge of the slowly disintegrating bulkhead and was rewarded with a shout of pain from an unseen enemy. It was close. The word-bearers had begun to advance.
"Tell me you have a stasis field generator or a force field amongst your many trappings, Tech Marine."
"I have saws, drills, plasma cutters, and a host of reparation equipment. Nothing further."
"Could we collapse this corridor, bring it down on them and force them to cut through the debris?"
"A sound suggestion, Brother Gargo, but the generatorium enclave is fashioned to withstand ship-to-ship ordnance blasts. We possess nothing that would achieve our desired effect."
Gargo blind-fired again. So did Zon, who knew his ammo count was getting low.
"Tooth and claw it is, then," said Gargo, as the last of his shells ran dry and the bolter clanked empty.
He dropped it, drawing his hammer and sword. He kept the hammer in his flesh-and-blood hand to evenly distribute the killing efficacy of his weapons. An able swordsman, Gargo was a brawler at heart and crouched low into his preferred combat-ready stance. Footfalls were echoing across the deck plate towards them, audible over the numbing drone of the Geller field generator. Harbored behind a reinforced shell of overlapping adamantium plates, the device's housing had a single weak point, a circular access hatch large enough for an engine seer or tech marine. Beyond that aegis lay the generator itself, a pulsing engine of singular technological artifice, a relic of the dark age of technology. Without it, the Charybdis's survival would be measured in seconds. Foolish, the first legionary to push down the narrow defile spat out some Colchisian mantra, and Gargo leaned around to stab up into the frothing zealot's chin before he had even raised his weapon. Zon took down a second word-bearer, spearing him through the chest with his plasma cutter, before wrenching the mewling warrior's head off with his servo arm. Blood fountained in the tight space, spattering his eye lenses and coating the back of Gargo's left shoulder with gore. As he was trying to cleanse his visor, a bolt tore into Zon's upper chest, ripping off chunks of breastplate and severing the servo arm's cabling. A flapping pressure hose from the damaged armature spewed vapor across his faceplate. He staggered, recovering enough to thrust his drawn chain blade into a torso. The teeth burred, grinding metal and bone. More blood and chunks of flesh spat out at the tech marine, ruddying his armor. Gargo was advancing, stepping over the dead to close the gap with the word-bearers, surging into the narrow defile leading to the generatorium. A dying legionary clawed at his ankle. Glancing down, Gargo stomped his skull into fragments. When he looked back up, a brute of a warrior stood in his way, with bare muscular arms etched in cuneiform. A host of scars colonized his skin behind the runic script. His face was bare, too, but for the rebreather fastened over his nose and mouth. Both swung simultaneously. Gargo with his spaffer, the brutish word-bearer with a flange-headed mace. The spaffer's blade disappeared in a flare of angry light and squealing metal, leaving behind a smoking stump of hilt. The mace had to be a power weapon. Hoping to even the odds, Gargo swung with his hammer, but the word-bearer had a second blade too, and it cut through the black smiter's battle plate like parchment, rending flesh, then bone. For a moment, Gargo thought the wet thud against the deck plate was the stump of hilt, until a sudden imbalance kicked in as he leaned hard and realized his only flesh and blood arm had been cut off. A massive dose of adrenaline flooded his bloodstream, stymieing pain and staving off neurological shutdown. A space marine's body was genetically engineered to keep on fighting even after sustaining critical injury. Where reaction and instinct would fail, hypno-conditioned impulse took over. So Gargo did not mentally process the loss of his limb at first. He just fought to survive. Even unarmed, his bionic remained an effective weapon. Before the word-bearer could finish him, Gargo smashed the blade of his bionic hand into the other legionary's chest. Metal plates parted and ruptured on impact, and the bone beneath shattered. A savage backhand ripped off the word-bearer's rebreather, dislodging teeth in the same blow. A feral smile lay hidden beneath the grill mask, despite the pain of injury. Rather than capitulate, the word-bearer fought harder and lashed out, catching Gargo across the midriff with the haft of the mace and hurling him into the generatorium's armored shell where he slumped down. Zon saw his brother Salamander fall and moved to intercede, warding the narrow defile with his armored body and blocking any further advance from the word-bearers.
"You like it bloody,"
said the word-bearer who had felled Gargo, brandishing his twin weapons. Zon did not answer. Instead, he brought up his chainsword into a defensive stance. The word-bearer nodded, ignoring the shouts of his fellow legionaries who were pinned behind him.
"Good," he said to Zon. "So do I."
Blade and mace struck in unison, and Zon had to fall back onto one knee as he braced against the warrior's immense strength. Chain teeth sped by in a blur, churning against the word-bearer's two weapons. They churned Zon's gauntlet too, the tech marine having to clench the burring blade of his weapon to stop from being overwhelmed. Veins bulged in the word-bearer's neck as he pressed down on Zon's defense. All tech marines had varying degrees of augmentation. For some, it was to enhance their senses, auditory, olfactory, or visual. Others had bionic limbs for enhanced speed or strength. Zon's extended from haptic implants in his hands to bionics implanted into his neck. He called upon the latter now, rising from his enforced crouch and butting the casing of his chainsword so it snapped forwards. His oppressor lurched backwards, his hold broken as he was struck in the chest, and the chain teeth from Zon's blade raked across his breastplate.
The blow hit hard, but threw out Zon's arm at the same time. For a moment, his defense lay breached. He almost recovered, but the word-bearer was quicker. Thick plasteel swept into Zon's neck and jarred. The blade held fast, snared by ranks of plated cabling and wires. Sparks rained from the wound, and an oil slick poured down the Tech Marine's upper chest like blood. His battle plate registered the critical injury, relaying the data across Zon's retinal feed, a biometric outline of his armored frame displaying red warning icons at the point where his gorget met his helm. This he processed in a nanosecond. His next act was to engage the plasma cutter in his right vambrace. For some reason, it failed to activate. Reaction time slowing to a crawl, he missed the second critical warning on his lens display. Plastron breach, rib plate split, internal organs compromised and failing. He absorbed the data as dispassionately as a cogitator. Only when Zon looked down and saw the flanged mace head embedded deep in his chest did he realize just how seriously injured he was. With a violent tug, the blade in his neck was wrenched loose, spoiling his vision as he tried to find his assailant through the squalls of static affecting his feed. A second strike met the gouge laid by the first, and Zon felt it bite flesh. Blood met oil, pouring down his chest and abdomen in a black flood, draining and pooling onto the deck at his feet. Nerveless fingers relinquished the chainsword. In a brief visual, Zon thought the word-bearer had grown, for the traitor towered over him. Belatedly, he realized it was he that had sunk down on both knees this time. The blade wrenched loose one more time, Zon's head jerking with the violent motion, his visual feed blurring. Volk! He stopped short when his neck was severed and his head came free of his body. Degat kicked over the corpse and stepped into the generatorium core. He could feel the energy hum rattling his bones and taste the corpuscent bleeding off the machinery behind the armored shell where the other one still sat. Not dead, but down.
"I'll be back to finish you soon," he promised the one-armed legionary, shouting over his shoulder for a blast charge. The crack grenade went off with a dull crump, taking off the shell's access hatch and exposing the engine within. Light and noise flooded the corridor as viperous bands of energy licked and spat through the shattered hatch.
"Breacher!"
he snarled and waited for the hefty explosive to be handed down. It never made it. The breacher carrier pitched to the side, his left temple drilled by a bolt shell. A detonation ruptured the warrior's cranial vault in a welter of bone shards and matter. Headless, the word-bearer stood erect for another second before he collapsed, still holding the charge. Degat smiled, staying low as suppressing fire rained in on him and his men. He had only caught a glimpse of their assailant, but it was enough.
"At last," he murmured, jerking back against the renewed fusillade and laughing as another of his battle brothers was cut down.